good evening, and thank you for joining us in Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are blessed to be back and studying from Terrorize Bible Study, Wishing Forward, which is not yet published, but it is in the works. And she is actually teaching it at the Open Door Mission, which is a local homeless shelter. I know they are being blessed. Last week, she storied from Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 44.
And Luke 5, 1 through 16.
But she just asked me to do Luke.
Yeah, good girl.
Okay. Jesus was in the synagogues, and he had been in the towns healing of diseases and performing miracles. And many people were following him, and he went to pray in a solitary place after serving in the ministry, basically. And he told all these people as they were following him and flocking him, he said, "I am here to share the gospel, the good news, to all the towns." And of course, he told those people the will of the Father.
That's exactly right. That's awesome, Sabrina. That's so good. Isn't it amazing how, I mean, we just did it. We've done it twice today, really. And you're already pulling it in. And they say that you know a story is yours. John Walsh, he is a famous biblical storyteller. In fact, you can find him on Facebook. And every day he posts a passage, a scripture, and he is telling through the Bible on Facebook. And so you can get a snippet of the Bible every day of him telling. I kind of call him the papa of Bible storytelling. It's really sweet. And he says, you know a story is owned when you've told it five times. Because after five times, it becomes a part of you.
Right.
And so part of the process on the handout that I talked about last week, that if you email me at terrorrye.com, I'll be happy to send to you. Within the hour, I will have ensured that we have heard five times the biblical passage by the way that I do this teaching method. And that way, it becomes a part of a person. And the idea is it's absorption. It's right. Literally you are absorbing the passage so that it so much becomes a part of you that it's easy for you to tell it in your own words. And we are looking at this moment right now that ministry has just begun, and Jesus is already revealing the power and the authority that is in him. And as this power and authority is becoming evident, the people want a piece
right.
of the action. Mm-hmm. And this morning I was praying through this, and I just got kind of teary-eyed. I was like, God, you know, it just makes me think of the passage that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so I looked up, and it's Psalm 34:8, because I couldn't remember the reference. In the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who finds refuge in him. And then I found a passage in the Message, Sabrina, which, you know,
we love it.
In Hebrews 6:4 in the Message, it says, once people have seen the light and gotten taste of heaven and been a part of the work of the Holy Spirit, once they've experienced the sheer goodness of God's word and the powers breaking in on us, in them, they turn their back, and if they turn their backs on it and wash their hands of the whole thing, well, they can't start over as if nothing happened. That's impossible.
Mm.
See, there's something that happens when a person is confronted with Christ. And that's what's happened to the crowds. They have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And they can't help but want more. And but the hunger inside them, the desire, the want inside them has to be trained into what it needs to be wishing forward toward.
Mm.
And you, if you
that's
think
huge right there.
That is the same thing that happens within us.
Mm-hmm.
We are filled with wants. We are filled with desires. We are filled with wishes. And what we have to understand is that filling comes when we taste and see that the Lord is good.
Right.
And nothing can fill it except for Christ. And Christ alone. And that's the reason why people go around hungry
mm-hmm.
for so much of want.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it says over and over. I mean, I was just meeting with a woman right before I came here, and understanding the Holy Spirit is not is not something that is understood until you've almost experienced it.
Mm.
And that's why in Ephesians 5:18, it says, don't be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be ever filled with the Spirit.
That's good.
It's like something you can't, every day you need to be filled and filled and filled. Because if you don't, you're going to live for the sinful nature.
Mm.
And God, we as a flesh, we'll go towards whatever's hungry and whatever's saying, feed me.
Right.
So I just think that is so important to remember, you know, to just go away and sit and ask God to fill afresh with the Holy Spirit. So we see, we act, we talk completely different.
Mm. Mm. It's just, it's amazing. And I love the fact that the crowds came.
Mm-hmm.
They saw, they tasted, and they saw that it was good. I mean, he had cast out demons, and he had healed the sick and disease. And literally, I think in the passage before this, it actually says that when Jesus was walking, that the power was coming out of him.
Mm.
And I think that may be in the Luke rendition of this particular section of scripture. And it's just literally amazing. And then in the Matthew 14, I think 35 through 36, it says all who touched him were healed.
Mm.
And we'll talk more about that later on when we go into the passage about the leper and the healing that he had. But right now, I really this morning was so focused in on the fact that Jesus said, I must preach the good news. It wasn't an option. It wasn't an option. It was a command. That is what he was sent for. That is what Jesus prayed into in the solitary place. He wasn't praying into the things that he wanted. And oftentimes, what this whole series has done for me is it has caused me to reevaluate my drawing near to God, because it was his habit. Scripture tells us, as was his habit. That's how this passage ends when, you know, in the story set that we used. As was his habit, he withdrew to a solitary place to pray. It was his habit to draw near to the Father, to connect with the Father. And in order for something to become a habit, it has to be something that we determine to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we determine to do it, but we follow through to do it.
Right.
And not only do we determine to do it and follow through to do it, but we are faithful
right.
to do it. And so I'm going to write those down, Sabrina. That just kind of like came out of me. Determine to follow and to faithful. Okay. Y'all, I had to write that down.
That's how you can tell a servant.
Yeah. And so as I am evaluating my prayer life and the withdrawing to a solitary place, what am I determining to talk to God about? Jesus answered to the people, the crowds, and he said, I must preach the good news of God, the kingdom of God, to all the towns. And so the people, the want, the desire of the people was for him to stay, to sit, to soak, to really become a pew warmer. That is what they were asking. We see what you have is so good. We want it just for us. And
you don't want to share.
Oh my goodness. Seriously. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And you know what? This temptation comes out in the strangest of ways in Christendom. And I'm going to speak from my own sin and how this has happened. When I first started off in the ministry, and I've been doing the ministry of teaching women, 15 years, okay? And probably closer to 18 if you include conferences, and then 20 if you include broader conferences outside of the church. But I would have a knowledge, and I would be selfish with my knowledge and how I would share it, because I didn't want somebody else to have the equipping that I had, because it would make me unique. Okay, early on, I had, that was a sin to want to sit and take instead of doing it in order to go and make the good news happen. Do you see how even in something that is Christ-likeness, we can turn it into something that is not? I mean, very, very easy for us to do that, i.e., why I'm making sure that I have a handout that tells how to do the teaching script.
Because God's about multiplying.
Completely. And that is where the growth is in Christendom. That if I want to be the best that I can be, I will equip as many people with the gifting that I have.
Right.
And so we can do this in our teaching settings as well. I know that when I first started doing within the ministry, asking Tanya, who used to be here on the radio with us, to come alongside me as a teacher. And I started training up teachers to stand beside me while I did teaching and make them teach. People gave me a hard time within ministry because they weren't accustomed to having two people stand up and teach. And I explained that Jesus sent them out two by two and that we need to be equipping each other and all. I think that pastors really should have somebody shoulder to shoulder with that they are equipping to send out to preach. I think Sunday school teachers need to be doing that. My husband and I, the way that we run our Sunday school class is that we co-lead with other teachers with the intent that we can send, not with the intent that we'll stay. And so it has
to... You should always be looking for leaders. Always.
Well, it is the preaching of the good news and the multiplying. It cannot stay in our town.
Right.
He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well. And we can get very selfish in our drawing near to Christ. And the key is that he made it very clear. And I believe the reason why God lets us know that he had withdrawn to a solitary place, because it would be so easy to say, yes, I want to sit and soak with you. Because when it's good with somebody, you want to sit and soak with them, right?
Yes.
And so Jesus, in order to be equipped, he took the time to draw near to the Father. Even though we know he knew the will of the Father, we know he was going to do the will of the Father, but he still took the time to make it his habit to determine to follow in faithfulness and drawing near to God.
What an example.
It is.
Ugh.
And this is not a command from his mouth. Jesus did not say, make it your daily habit to withdraw to a solitary place to pray.
Right.
He did not say that. But his life taught, because that's what he did, and Scripture shows that to us. And that is a lesson that is caught, not taught. And the reality of this happened to me the other day. This is really funny. We have Dong Min, who is our foreign exchange student, living with us, and he is our Korean son. We have another Korean son, Jun Woo, who's lived with us, and a Korean daughter who has lived with us in the past, Sojin. But presently, it is Dong Min. And Greg loves football, but nobody else in our family loves football the way my husband loves football. He has to go to Sabrina's husband, Adam, to get his football fix because nobody else gets into football.
Greg.
But Dong has totally caught on the football fever. I mean, like you would not believe. He has caught the football fever.
Good for him.
And I can pretty much guarantee if I can't find Greg and Dong, they're either in the basement watching football, playing PlayStation football, or they're outside throwing a football. That is Dong and Greg's life together. Our whole family knows that this is like a bond that they have developed. Well, Michaela was gone at ballet. Grant was gone at a retreat. So it was just Greg, Dong, and I. And I had to leave the house to go do an errand. So I walked into the man cave where they're playing football and PlayStation. And Greg always, when it's time for me to come or go, he goes, and that means giving me a kiss. You don't leave the house without me getting my kiss. And so he did it. And as is our custom, I went over and I kissed him. It's our habit. It has been our habit. Yesterday was our 20th anniversary. It is our marriage habit. I've never thought anything of it before. And Dong looks up at me and goes, And I looked down at this little guy and I thought, okay, what are the cultural barriers of an American mommy with a foreign exchange Korean son? What do? I'm not going to kiss him on the lips. You know, I do with my son.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, God, what do I do? And I mean, it was like all this, like an instant going through my head. And so I kissed him on the head. I left. I did my errands. I came back. I went and put the groceries away. And at this point now, they are watching football. And it's time for me to go pick up Michaela from ballet. And I walk into the room to say goodbye. And Greg goes, I walk over and I kiss Greg. And then Dawn goes, and I look at him, and he looks at me with these eyes like this big, like, really, are you going to kiss me on the head this time? So I kissed him on the cheek, and then he nodded his head, smiled. That one worked. And he caught something that we never intended to teach. It was our habit. It is our habit for Greg to greet me and to, when I leave, always, it's with a kiss. If I'm the one leaving, I always get the always. Mm-hmm. And I do it to him as well. And I had never thought of it before until this happened about 3 weeks ago. And as I was preparing this lesson, I thought, that's essentially it. Jesus, as was his custom, withdrew to a solitary place to pray, so much so that this is the beginning of his ministry. The people knew where to go find him. I mean, this is huge. And I want you to keep in mind, I was studying Bible knowledge background, and Bible knowledge commentary and Bible background. And they said that in the city that they were in their time in Capernaum, that the way that the villages were laid out, the houses were set in cul-de-sacs, and the houses housed many people. I mean, they were huge, huge things that many people lived in, and they were in a circle, and it was very tight space. And you're talking within one cul-de-sac, you could have the equivalent of 120 people in one small setting. And for any one person to have solitary quiet time, they would have to get up before dawn to remove themselves, because everybody woke up at dawn, because that's when the day began. They didn't sleep in until 9 or 10. They were up and moving at dawn. So in order for Jesus to withdraw to a solitary place without the crowds knowing, he had to do it before dawn. And yet the people knew where he was. That's how much it was a habit. And it wasn't just one or two. It said the crowds came to him. And his habit was so solid, so consistent, that the crowds knew where to find him. And they went after him. And so what is it that we need to catch from him in this wishing forward to be a part of the drawing near to the Father in the solitary place? I want you to come back next week, and we're going to look a little bit more about some of the things that Jesus might have been wishing forward to, and we know he was wishing forward to by the support of the other passages of Scripture. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless.